A national helpline for First Nations and Torres Strait Islander communities will roll out a text-based service to address critical gaps in crisis support. 13 Yarn received $13.9 billion to boost the expansion, with the platform recognised as a vital resource since its inception in 2022. The announcement came at recent Closing the Gap speeches, with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese acknowledging shortfalls on these targets, highlighting suicide rates as the most urgent area of concern. Auntie Marjorie Anderson, Head of Indigenous Affairs at Lifeline, was instrumental in designing and managing 13 Yarn. And she says funding reflects continued calls from her organisation, also saying the new service will align with growing needs of the community.
Look, we've been fighting for about 2 years because what we wanted to do was really get the voice line running and then offer the text service as a complement to the call line, because there are people who don't want to pick up a phone and ring up, but they still want to reach out for help. It really does cater for the youth market and make sure that we've got a safe space for youth to reach out, particularly considering that suicide is the single biggest killer of Aboriginal youth in Australia. So we wanted to make sure that we had the line in place there. Also, 43% of Aboriginal adults have significant hearing loss. So being on the phone is not always a good experience for those people. And another thing is that people in domestic violence situations might not have a safe space to call, but they might be able to find a quiet spot to sit down and text to get help. The text line is really valuable to expanding the services. It's a service that has been wanted from the beginning by Aboriginal people, but we wanted to deliver the service as a call line first and then the text line. And we'll be looking at individual self-help tools and apps and things like that as well, to ensure that we get tools for Aboriginal people.
And what sort of positive impact are you hoping to have by opening this sort of digital medium up? What would you expect? How many others would you expect would reach out because of this?
It's interesting because we always underestimate ourselves. Like with the call line, we expected at this stage of the game to be getting about 75 calls a day, and we're getting between 100 and 130 calls a day. It's hard to predict, but I would say that we would be able to grow the text line and it will become the most popular service for reaching out. So when you look at the calls, like for example, yesterday we had 134 calls. You know, if we get 134 texts a day, that's 134 people we're helping. I think there's a big growth margin there. And the Lifeline experience has showed us that it's a different market as well.
We're seeing significant events emerge, like the referendum a few years ago, Camp Sovereignty, and a recent bombing attack in Perth. How do you believe the social and political environment is impacting the social and emotional well-being of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people?
It's got a huge impact. When we went through the referendum, we noticed that we were getting many more calls for racism. At some stages, a quarter of our calls were for racism. And that's because people were being openly racist to Aboriginal people. And when you see leaders in this country being openly racist, that gives permission for everybody to do it. It was a really bad time for Aboriginal people. And we haven't really healed from that when the whole Camp Sovereignty thing happened down in Victoria, where the neo-Nazis came and bashed Aboriginal people, and there was footage of it, and people were calling it an alleged attack. There was nothing alleged about it. The response to that by the general public, if that was a group of Jewish people, it would have been outrage. But there's no outrage when it happens to our community. So we feel like we're not protected. And those people, there was one guy sitting on a teacher bashing her head in, And that person was charged with affray. Like, that's a hate crime as far as we're concerned. And then you have the bombing in Perth, you know, where somebody threw a bomb into a crowd. If it was any other crowd, it would have been called terrorism immediately. So Aboriginal people are feeling really unprotected in their own land, and the response is so different to racism against us as opposed to racism against other groups. Aboriginal people are feeling very vulnerable. And when you're in a vulnerable state, things affect you more.
And I guess on that note, how do you want to see, like, how else do you want to see governments address racism when it comes to First Nations communities and effectively reduce that harm from the beginning?
Well, they should talk to each community, because communities will want different responses. We're not a homogenous group. There are hundreds of nations in this country. And I always say the best way to get good outcomes for Aboriginal people is to include Aboriginal people in your response. So the first thing the government should have done is go to the people in Perth, the organisers of that event, and say, how would you like us to respond to this? And get their response. We need to include Aboriginal people in decision making. We need to include Aboriginal people in the design of services for them, because then they won't come up against this racism. We need to see a real cultural change in the police services. We also need to see some real cultural change in the legal system and in corrective services as well, because we've still got Aboriginal men and women, but mainly men, dying at a very high rate in our prison systems. And it's down to racism and Aboriginal people not getting the health services they deserve. That's a human right, to get health services when you're incarcerated. And Aboriginal people are being ignored and dying in jail. It's just, but they need to involve Aboriginal people in decision making.
And on that note, the Prime Minister acknowledged the failings in the Closing the Gap targets in the speech around 2 weeks ago, particularly regarding suicide rates, which are not currently on track. So again, what's your response to this announcement just 2 weeks ago when the Closing the Gap targets have been on the agenda?
Yeah, well, the government can't continue to do things the same way and expect a different result. What government do is they think they know best what Aboriginal people want, right? I mean, we're a national line, that's a little bit different. But when you look at mental health services in communities, you look at Culture Care Connect, which is run through Nacho. That's been a real success in communities. It's run on the smell of an oily rag. It really needs to pump some money into things that work, that are place-based. We're a good catch-all, but to bring the suicide rate down, you've really got to work with community. It is about social and emotional well-being, but it's about those indicators, those social indicators. Get the response from the community. Involve the community in developing that response. Therefore, you're leaving the skills behind in the community instead of flying people in to fix it and then flying people out, and then the problem raises its head again. That's the way to do it. But to do that, government's got to give away some power. And they don't like to give away the power. The power imbalance has to be that Aboriginal people have the power in this decision making, not government. And they'll never, ever do that. And I worked for government for 40 years, and I tried to get real co-design in government, and it was just, I could not get it in there.
And I guess on the text support now that's going to accompany the crisis call support, how do you think this will bolster culturally safe support? What do you do there at 13 Yarn to ensure that?
What we do is we co-design it with community. Government always want things done quickly. We don't do things quickly. We do things correctly. So when I was brought in to deliver 13 Yarn, the call service, I was told it's got to be delivered by Christmas. And I started in October and I said, no, that's not going to happen because it needs to be co-designed with the community. And they said, but what are Aboriginal people going to do this Christmas? The same thing they've done for Christmas decades and hundreds of years. Like, why is it so important? What's so important about this Christmas? I'd rather do it right than do it quick. And that's what will happen with the 13 Yarn text service. We will go out and we will gather youth, we'll gather people with a disability, we will gather stolen generation, we will gather women who have experienced domestic violence, we'll gather youth, elders, people with a lived experience of suicide and its consequences, the LGBTQI community. We will make sure that we have the diversity in the community in our workshops. Look, if you're feeling no good and you don't know where to go and you don't have a friend to talk to or relative, or you don't want to bring out private matters with family, please ring 13 Yarn. Don't wait till you're in crisis. If you're feeling no good, give us a ring on 13 92 76. It's confidential. There's no judgment and no shame. So really keep yourself safe.
Auntie Marjorie Anderson, Head of Indigenous Affairs at Lifeline, speaking with me.